afternoon. It's 4:30 and 34 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
15 minutes later, it seems that it robbed a gas station in Clark County.
A Bath County man was killed in a car crash after allegedly shooting a man and committing three armed robberies.
A Round County couple has been indicted for sexual abuse of a minor.
A law adding new regulations to a specific type of abortion procedure is in the hands of the federal judge.
A woman is suing a restaurant chain in Louisville.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says legalizing gaming in Kentucky could be the answer to the pension crisis.
In sports, Round County's basketball teams start their regular season play tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
And a chance of snow showers tonight, mainly before 10 p.m., with cloudy skies and a low around 25. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
One man is recovering from a gunshot wound and one man is dead after a bizarre string of robberies and a multi-county police chase on Sunday. Kentucky State Police say 33-year-old Lucas Vanderpool was killed when a high-speed chase led him to crash in Bourbon County. Vanderpool is accused of shooting 55-year-old Coy Atkins on Lambert Hollow near Moorhead Sunday afternoon. During that investigation, Moorhead police responded to a reported robbery at the Eagle Travel Plaza truck stop near the 801 Interstate 64 intersection. Trooper Scott Farrell says they received a report from Montgomery County shortly after the first robbery, and the investigation began.
That travel plaza off of 113 on US 60 has just been robbed. So they sent pictures from the video to that, and it's the same guy, which is Lucas Vanderpool. So while they're still at 801, our detectives in the Round Sheriff's Department, Montgomery County Sheriff's Department, goes to the one there in Mount Sterling on 60. 15, 20 minutes later, he robs the gas station. Robs the gas station in Clark County.
Vanderpool then led police on a chase through Clark and Bourbon counties before crashing in a single vehicle fatality accident around 8:20 p.m. All four incidents remain under investigation by various police agencies.
A Round County couple has been indicted for sexual abuse of a minor. WMKY's Haley Stidham has more.
Clayton and Joyce Kukler have been indicted for sexual abuse of a minor. A grand jury handed down four-count indictments to both of the 30-year-old Moorhead residents on November 16th. Clayton Kukler was charged with sexual abuse in the first degree. He was arrested on the charges in September. Joyce Kukler was charged with complicity to sexual abuse in the first degree and was arrested last Tuesday. The couple has also been charged with three counts each of endangering the welfare of a minor. Both are being held in the Round County Detention Center on a $25,000 cash bond. Both are scheduled to appear in Round Circuit Court on December 7th. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
The fate of a Kentucky law adding new regulations to a specific kind of abortion procedure is currently in the hands of a federal judge. Earlier this year, the General Assembly and Governor Matt Bevin signed off on House Bill 454, placing new limitations in an abortion procedure dubbed dilation and evacuation. Opponents, including Bevin administration attorney Steve Pett, describe the technique as dismemberment of the fetus.
This legislation does not ban the D&E procedure. All it does is add a condition that the physician ensure the demise of the child before this gruesome, brutal procedure takes place.
Pitt spoke with WDRB. Opponents of the bill say the ban would put health and lives of Kentucky women at risk. It could be months before the judge hands down a decision in that case.
A Kentucky man has filed a federal lawsuit after alleging he was framed for a murder he didn't commit. The Courier-Journal reports that 56-year-old Nikki Miller of Stanton, who filed the suit last Tuesday, says he wrongly spent 2 years in jail facing a potential death sentence of the murder of 52-year-old Paul Brewer of Mount Sterling. In 2011, Brewer was found shot in the head twice while strapped to his bed. The suit names a state police polygraph examiner, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, and a prosecutor as defendants, alleging they forced a witness to falsely implicate Miller and destroy evidence in the case. None of the defendants returned requests for comment. Prosecutors moved to dismiss the charges against Miller last year.
For hundreds of former clients of Eric C. Kahn, Thanksgiving took on a whole new meaning on Wednesday afternoon. That's when the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 6th District ruled against the Social Security Administration. Nearly 1,000 of Khan's former clients had their benefits stripped 3 years ago when the SSA decided to subject them to a redetermination process. Attorney Ned Pillersdorf has been a leader in the movement to get Khan's former clients reinstated. He tells EKB-TV he feels their voices are finally being heard.
The result is that of the 800 people who lost their benefits, those people are likely to get their benefits back. Having said that, the opinion today is not final, and the Social Security Administration could appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court or ask the Sixth Circuit to reconsider.
Khan was charged with defrauding the government as part of a wide-ranging disability scheme. He fled to Honduras in the wake of the charges and was apprehended by authorities in December of 2017.
A woman who claims she was told to cover up while breastfeeding at a Louisville restaurant is now suing the chain. Haley Hansen with the Kentucky News Network reports.
Sadie Durbin says she was breastfeeding at a Texas Roadhouse last week when an employee rushed over and told her to cover up. The employee allegedly tried covering her baby with a napkin. Under state law, a mother may, quote, breastfeed her baby or express milk in any location. Because of that, Durbin is now suing the chain for extreme and severe emotional distress and is seeking financial compensation. A Texas Roadhouse spokesman says the employee meant no ill will and has been placed on paid time off. I'm Haley Hansen.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Some advocacy groups are spreading the word about how to avoid an all-too-common disease. The American Diabetes Association, the Kentucky Association of Food Banks, and Passport Health Plan are working to educate families served by food banks about how they can best prevent and manage type 2 diabetes. Kristen Rowland with the American Diabetes Association in Kentucky says about 108,000 people in the state have diabetes and don't know it. She says that greatly increases their health risk. Additionally, more than 1 million have prediabetes.
That's a condition where blood glucose levels are higher than normal, but not high enough to be diagnosed with diabetes. So that's an important group that we want to educate, to become aware of how they can reduce their risk.
The organizations are passing out educational materials about diabetes.
The death of a homeless person in Louisville during a recent ice storm is leading to calls for shelter reforms. Tiny Heron with Forgotten Louisville told WDRB the number of emergency beds, around 340, falls far short of the number of people experiencing homelessness, which she puts at around 6,000.
And something has to be done. We've already lost a life to the elements, and that's unacceptable.
Heron says there are a number of reasons why someone might be turned away from Louisville homeless shelters. That's led to call for a low barrier shelters with fewer restrictions.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says legalizing gaming in Kentucky could be the answer to the state's pension crisis. Spectrum News reports that Beshear sent a letter to lawmakers urging them to pass gaming and dedicate all the revenue to the pension system. He said this would free up other sources of state revenue to fund education, health care, and fight the drug epidemic. He's urging lawmakers to expand gaming to casinos, fantasy sports, and sports gaming, as well as prepare for legalization of online poker. His letter to lawmakers states the American Gaming Association reports revenue from gaming in 24 states surpassed $40 billion in direct taxes back to the states, hitting a record of more than $9 billion for 2017. The letter goes on to say Kentuckians spend over $1 billion in casinos in surrounding states. Casino gaming made a long shot in the state, however, with Governor Matt Bevin saying gaming in Kentucky is a sucker's bet.
A state senator has pre-filed a bill that would raise Kentucky's minimum wage. Haley Hansen with the Kentucky News Network reports.
Lexington Democrat Reggie Thomas pre-filed the bill that would gradually raise the minimum wage over the next 7 years. By July of 2026, the minimum wage would be up to $15 an hour. Senator Thomas noted that Arkansas just enacted a $12 minimum wage, adding, if Arkansas can do it, so can Kentucky. He says, quote, "We need to make sure that everyone has a livable wage." The 2019 General Assembly convenes on January 8th. I'm Haley Hansen.
Attorney General Andy Beshear has added Insys Therapeutics to the growing list of companies targeted for their role in the opioid epidemic. The Democrat says the Arizona-based drug maker promoted a fentanyl-based opioid mouth spray, Sibsys, for off-label use, knowing the potential for abuse. Beshear's office suggests Insys fraudulently required insurance coverage approvals, encouraged unlawful and deceitful conduct among its sales force, and gave kickbacks to doctors.
According to our complaint, Insys executives stressed the importance of, quote, owning doctors, which meant that the sales representative monitored and controlled those doctors' prescribing behavior.
Insys defended its promotion of Sibsys against similar charges in New York, saying it made up a very small percentage of opioid prescriptions in that state. The company's founder and other executives were indicted and arrested in 2017.
Morehead State University is hosting an event on Tuesday evening. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has the story.
MSU is inviting community members to join faculty, staff, and students at a holiday-themed open house on Tuesday. The event will take place at the Adrian Doran University Center. University President Dr. Jay Morgan says those in attendance will be able to tour the newly renovated and expanded ADUC. The university bookstore will also offer holiday discounts. Refreshments will be served, and there will be activities for children of all ages, as well as pictures with Santa. The event runs from 5 to 7 p.m. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton.
For the first time in over 60 years, a University of Kentucky student has been named a Rhodes Scholar. Hadil Abdallah, a Dunbar graduate who's attending the University of Kentucky, found her name on the list of just 32 winners of the coveted scholarship. She says it will help her pursue a variety of causes.
I'm passionate about solving patterns of forced displacement. I'm passionate about helping refugees and women specifically obtain an education. And I'm passionate about solving inequalities when it comes to access to education, and I believe that the Rhodes Scholarship will definitely help me achieve those goals.
The scholarship foots the bill for graduate work at England's Oxford University.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast for the surrounding listening area, tonight a chance of snow showers mainly before 10 p.m., cloudy skies with a low around 25 degrees. Tomorrow, a chance of flurries between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high around 28. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low around 21. On Wednesday, sunny skies with a high near 33 degrees. On Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 24. On Thursday, a 10% chance of rain after 5 p.m., partly sunny skies with a high near 44. Right now, it is currently 34 degrees in Moorhead, Flemingsburg, Mount Sterling, and Lexington, 35 degrees in Maysville, 37 degrees in Ashland, and 36 degrees in Grayson and Inez.
On our feature segment today, an autobiography detailing the life of a Hungarian immigrant and Appalachian entrepreneur will be made available to the public over 60 years after its writing. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
Martin Himmler wrote the book, The Best We Can Judge, sometime between his return from World War II and his death in 1961.
Kathy Corbin, retired teacher and lifetime resident of Rowan County, volunteered her time to the Martin County Historical and Genealogical Society to edit the autobiography of Martin Himmler. She'll be speaking on his life in Morehead State University's Camden Carroll Library on November 28th. Martin Himmler immigrated from Hungary to the United States in 1907 before establishing a coal company in what is now the Beauty community in Martin County, Kentucky. Corbin says the book is a valuable look into the past.
It's a very important part of the time capsule from the 1920s, the progressive town of Himmlerville and the Himmler Coal Company in Martin County, and then moving forward to what Martin Himmler did with the Office of Strategic Services, that's now the CIA.
Corbin says the account of Himmler's life will not only appeal to those interested in Appalachian history, World War II enthusiasts will find points of intrigue as well.
His work resulted in the capture of more than 300 Nazi war criminals from Hungary and Austria. And then Mr. Himmler was responsible for the interrogation of 40 of those criminals.
Although the book is a snapshot of life several decades ago, Corbin says Himmler discusses topics that have remained relevant in the modern day.
It's almost as if Martin Himmler had a crystal ball. You know, what he wrote in the autobiography was very important at the time that he was alive. But what he says about immigration, America's relationship with the Soviet Union, America's place in the world, what he says on those three subjects are even more important today than they were back at the time that he wrote the autobiography.
Martin Himmler's words remained private until recently.
And Mr. Himmler left his autobiography to his family. The family brought the autobiography to the Martin County Historical and Genealogical Society. And long story short, the autobiography is now a published book by the University of Tennessee Press.
Himmler's family will donate autobiography royalties to the restoration of Himmler's historical home in Martin County. Kathy Corbin and longtime Himmler researcher Dr. Doug Cantrell will offer their perspectives in the Athena Room of MSU's Camden Carroll Library at 5 p.m. on November 28th. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
It's 4:47 and 34 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this dark and dreary Monday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
It's time to get the year started for the basketball Vikings. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Rowan County boys hit the road tonight for their season opener at Montgomery County. The Vikings were 17-15 last season, bringing home the district title before falling in the second round of the 16th regional tournament. Coach Sean Thacker says his young team has been focused on themselves in the preseason.
We feel really good about where we are. We definitely feel like that we're ahead of the curve a little bit. We got our fall sport kids pretty early. We played pretty well in both scrimmages against Belfry and North Laurel. So we're pleased with where we are. There's a lot of room for growth and development naturally, but it's probably one of the youngest teams I've ever started in my 20 years of being a head coach.
Tip-off tonight is set for 7:30. The Vikings will have just one day to refocus before they host their home opener with Greenup County on Wednesday. Menifee hosts Boyd County tomorrow evening. East Carter heads to Lawrence. Fairview hosts West Carter. And Bath County welcomes George Rogers Clark. Tip-off in all of those games is set for 7:30. The Lady Vikings host Fairview in their season opener tonight. Rowan's gals had two preseason scrimmages, beating Owen County by 18 points and then falling to Grant County by 6. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team is ready to face off tonight with another team after 2 weeks of practicing together.
I think it's been a big help that these girls have played together the last couple of years anyways. You know, as far as learning some new stuff that we want to go over, they're doing a really good job. I can't really complain about that. It's just, it really isn't a whole lot of time to get ready for your first game, but they're working hard.
Game time tonight is set for 7:30. The Lady Vikings will face off with Bath County for the EKC tournament on Saturday. In other regional girls action tonight, Morgan heads to Pike County Central, Fleming heads to Harrison County, and Boyd travels to Johnson Central. All three of those games are set to tip off at 7:30. The 5-1 Morehead State women's basketball Eagles are preparing to take on the KCU Knights tonight at home. The Eagles are coming off a 121-56 victory over Alice Lloyd to finish the Vinewood Farm Classic, where the Eagles finished 3-1. The Eagles are also averaging almost 40 rebounds and almost 20 assists a game. The Lady Knights are 2-9 so far this year. This evening's matchup tips off at 6:05. The Morehead State men's basketball team has some things to work on before the next game in their home stint tomorrow. The Eagles fell to the Lipscomb Bison 87-55 yesterday. Head coach Preston Spradlin says his guys need to step up and act before the opposition picks up momentum.
You know, when they make a run, that's when you got to execute. You got to really work. You got to get great shots. And we reverted. We went back to what we showed our guys on film. In the two games out in Eastern Washington, that when a team makes a run, it's natural, it's going to happen. You know, we continue to really shoot ourselves and take one pass possession shots or zero pass, tough ones, doing things that we don't work on, and it becomes contagious.
The Eagles return to Johnson Arena tomorrow night for a matchup against Northern Kentucky. Tip-off is at 7:35. Even after winning their last five, the University of Kentucky basketball Wildcats still have a lot of work to do. That's the word from head coach John Calipari. The Wildcats picked up their most recent win Friday over Tennessee State 77-62, but Coach Cal tells UK Athletics he's seeing a pattern of play that could spell bad news.
Look, folks, the reality of it is we're a ways away. We're not a very good team right now. We have no confidence defensively, which bleeds into your offense. Then you have no confidence offensively. You get beat three or four times, don't think you're going to be pounding your chest saying, I'm great.
The 10th-ranked Wildcats host Monmouth at 8:30 on Wednesday. In Monday Night Football action, the 7-3 Houston Texans take on the 5-5 Tennessee Titans at home in their first game since Robert Bob McNair died. The Texans will be carrying a reminder of the team's late owner and founder affixed to the back of each player's helmet. There will be a small decal in the shape of a football with these simple white block letters reading the initials RCM. Houston will try to set a franchise record with their 8th straight win tonight. And last on the list today, the Jacksonville Jaguars fired offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett today after the team's 7th consecutive loss. Coach Doug Marone is expected to promote quarterbacks coach Scott Milanovich to the offensive position. He spent 5 seasons as the head coach for the Canadian Football League's Toronto Argonauts before landing in Jacksonville. Milanovich will inherit a new starting quarterback as well, with backup Cody Kessler, as the 3-8 Jaguars have benched Blake Bortles, who has failed to reach 150 yards passing in 4 of the last 6 games. Marone already yanked Bortles once this year, only to give the job back to him a day later. And the Los Angeles Chargers running back Melvin Gordon is week to week after he sprained the MCL in his right knee during Sunday's 45-10 win over the Arizona Cardinals. Gordon sustained the injury when the Chargers ran a reverse during the 3rd quarter. He had scored 2 touchdowns and rushed for 61 yards in the game before the injury. The 4-year standout, who missed the Week 7 game against Tennessee due to a hamstring injury, is 4th in the league in average yards from scrimmage per game at 125.5 yards per game. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Northern Kentucky tomorrow night at 7:35 p.m., and women's basketball hosts Kentucky Christian tonight at 6:05 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks jumped as shares of some beaten-down tech companies rebounded after posting steep losses last week, while General Motors shares climbed. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 354.29 at 24,640.24. The S&P 500 was up 40.89. at 2673.45, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 142.87 at 7081.85. And as mentioned, some of your tech shares, which were so beaten down last week, managed to rebound today as shares of Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet all rose at least 1%. These stocks dropped more than 3.5% last week, which meant they fell further into bear market territory. Today's moves come after stocks suffered their worst Thanksgiving week since 2011 as a sell-off in once-loved technology stocks as well as oil prices dropping put traders into a risk-off mode. On Friday alone, U.S. oil prices plunged about 8%, and oil prices jumped back today with West Texas Intermediate climbing 2.4%. And, of course, investors have been rattled by fears of oversupply and waning demand on the market. General Motors was up 4% after they revealed plans to cut production at several plants and reduce their salaried workforce by 15%. Retailers rose broadly as Black Friday online sales totaled a record $6.22 billion. The sales record also marks a 23.6% jump in Black Friday online sales from last year. The Spider S&P Retail ETF symbol XRT rose 2%, led by gains in GameStop, Amazon, and L Brands. In the commodities markets, oil actually finished at $51.59 a barrel, as mentioned, up over 2% today. Gold was down 50 cents at $1,222.70 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 1.25%. And in the Far East, stocks had a good day as well, with the Nikkei up 0.75% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.75%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were American Express and Microsoft. The worst performers were United Technologies and Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Newell Brands and Wynn Resorts, and the worst performers were Campbell Soup and United Continental. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger down 11 cents at $29.58, AK Steel down 13 cents at $3.28, Community Trust Bank up 17 cents at $45.46, Marathon Petroleum up $2.46 at $64.19, Anthem was up 49 cents at $2.81.23, and Dollar General was up $1.82 to finish at $107.68. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking another look at the weather. Tonight, a chance of snow showers mainly before 10 p.m., cloudy with a low around 25. Tomorrow, a chance of flurries between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high around 28 degrees. On Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 21. On Wednesday, sunny skies with a high near 33. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 24. And on Thursday, a 10% chance of rain after 5 p.m., partly sunny skies with a high near 44 degrees.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, a blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held in the Adrian Dorn University Center at Moorhead State University from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Tuesday, November 27th and Wednesday, November 28th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, must be 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free t-shirt.
The Advisory Council for Adult Education is seeking donations of new books for a storybook Christmas. Books may be left at various locations in the Moorhead community through November. Contact the MSU Adult Learning Center for more information at 783-2871.
The 9th Annual Craft Bazaar, MSU Student Art and Craft Sale, will be held November 29th and 30th in the gallery of Moorhead State University's Claypool Young Art Building. Featuring handmade arts and crafts by MSU students, graduates, faculty, and staff, the event is an opportunity for the campus and community to purchase locally produced jewelry, paintings, prints, knitwear, ceramics, and more. It's free and open to the public.
The 34th Annual Appalachian Arts and Crafts Fair will be held inside the Laughlin Building at Moorhead State University from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 1st. More than 100 regional vendors will offer a wide variety of arts and crafts, antiques, and holiday decorations. Admission is $3.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Haley Stidham, Logan Pemberton, Wyatt Melton, Naya Andweza, Brian Courtney, Jack Connell, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Tilden Johnson, KNN's Haley Hansen, WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lions' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Jacob Lindberg. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.